My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network, here every other week with everything you need to know about Walt Disney World. If we're getting into the school summer holidays very soon, maybe your trip is just around the corner. If there's anything you need to know, then make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Brand new episodes every other week. Although this episode, I'm going to be filling you in on everything I got up to in Tokyo Disneyland. I think this episode may be a two-parter. And got a big giveaway. Never done a giveaway before, but some stuff I managed to bring back from Tokyo in my suitcase could be yours. I'll tell you how later on in this episode of the podcast. And still, we have everything you need to know about Walt Disney World. There are some big dates you need to know over the next coming months that I'll fill you in. We'll talk about everything that's going on as well. And answering your Walt Disney World questions. You can follow me on the socials. We are at PodMagical. The DMs are always open if there's anything you need to know. Like this one from Pete, who says, "We are going back to Walt Disney World for the first time since 2018. Really looking forward to it, but I seem to have forgotten everything about when it comes to booking dining. Do you need to have a VPN to book your dining? What time of the day? I know it's 60 days, but what actual time of the day do they become available?" Okay, for your Disney, your advanced dining reservations, 60 days before, that is when you can start booking. So 60 days before the first day of your trip, you can book for the rest of your trip up to 10 days. It says, well, it should be 11 a.m. That's UK time. So 11 a.m., 60 days before. However, I'd start looking about 10:45. So about 10:45 in the morning, 60 days before, because some of them, they do pop on a little bit early. And when it comes to VPNs, don't worry about that. You can go onto the app or onto the website. It's pretty much straightforward. You don't need a VPN. However, if you want to book something like a dessert party for the fireworks or special experiences, you may well need a VPN. But as for your actual dining plans, your actual dining reservations, it is, I'm going to say 10:45, 60 days before. Try from 10:45. Definitely by 11 o'clock. But if you want to get the really hard ones like Space 220 or maybe the new Pirates Lounge that's opening in Magic Kingdom, that's going to be hard to come by. Make sure you're on nice and early for that. And again, I always say, if you know a reservation is really difficult to get and you're going to be there for a few weeks, then try and get that reservation towards the end of your trip, because you're a bit of advantage. Like, so maybe in the second week of your holiday, there's going to be more availability there. Good luck with that. Let me know what you get, and then we'll get you on the podcast when you get back. At PodMagical on the socials, give us a like, give us a follow, send me your questions. But now we go from Walt Disney World in Florida to, well, the other side of the world. I got a very big Japan travel update as part of my Six Castles tour. So I can officially now say that I am a fully paid up member of the Disney Six Castles Club. There are six castles around the world, and it's taken me 25 years, but I finally visited all of them now that I've come back from Japan. So let me tell you all about my trip to Tokyo Disneyland, where they have two parks. The original Tokyo Disneyland, which was opened 42 years ago. That's how long it's been, 42 years. They've got a park next door as well called Tokyo Disney Sea, which many people say is the greatest theme park in the world. Not just the greatest Disney theme park, the greatest theme park in the world, Tokyo Disney Sea. Is it? Well, you'll find out later on in this podcast. Let me tell you first of all, though, about getting to Japan. I did spend 2 weeks in Japan, 2 weeks in Tokyo. I'm not going to tell you all about my travels around Japan because there is so much to tell you about Disneyland itself. Getting to Japan was easy. If you listen to the China podcast when I went to Shanghai, that was very different. There were various things you need to do with visas and when you get there. Going to Japan is really simple. There's no visa required. There's just some paperwork that you can fill out on the plane, or you can even do it before you go. There is a website where you can fill out all your details. It gives you a QR code. So when you're going through immigration, you just flash that QR code with your passport and you're pretty much straight through. If you go into Tokyo and you want to know that, you're going to Japan, send me a DM. I'll send you the link just to make it easy for you. But I won't go into details right now. Getting to Japan, getting into Tokyo, that's pretty easy. And it was just then an Uber from the airport to my Disney hotel. However, the really complicated part started about 4 or 5 months before I even went. Now, let me tell you, going to the parks, booking your hotels, everything like that is pretty confusing. Out of all the Disney parks in the world, I'd say Japan is the hardest one to get right. So think of everything we've learned about going to Walt Disney World. Think about those early starts when we used to have to get the virtual queues at 7 a.m. Think about when you want to get your fast passes, when you want to get those dining reservations for the really difficult restaurants. Everything you have learned from Walt Disney World, consider that training for when it comes to going to Disney in Tokyo. So if you want to book, hotels become available to book only around 4 months before your visit. Yes, just 4 months. If you want to get your tickets for the parks, well, they go on sale about 2 months before you go. And when it comes to park tickets, there's no park hoppers at the minute. That is changing over summer, though. It's literally you buy one ticket for one park for one day. That's how it goes. However, and this is where it gets even more confusing, you can book a vacation package. Now, they go on sale about 5 months before your trip. Now, the vacation package, that is your hotel, it's your tickets, it's various fast passes, it gets you restaurant reservations. You also get gifts as part of this. You get popcorn buckets that you can have free refills, or you can have free unlimited churros or drinks, or you can do character meets. There are various types of these vacation packages. But they go on sale and sell out within seconds. Yes, hotel vacation packages go on sale and sell out like that. So you really do have to be on it. Not only do you have to be on it, you have to firstly work out when they do go on sale for what coincides with your trip, and also the time difference and getting your head around the language. But thankfully, Tokyo Disney do have an English language website that makes things a little bit easier. Now, these vacation packages, they're only like 1 or 2 nights long. So that only gives you like 2 or 3 days in the park. So you could do a Disneyland and a Disney Sea package, one park in each day. Or you can do like I did, which was 1 day in Disneyland and then 2 days in Disney Sea. But then you can combine that with a normal hotel reservation. But you've got to make sure when they go on sale, which will be a little bit later, that you're booking the same kind of room category in the same hotel, so that hopefully when you get there to check in, they can link it all together so you're not moving from hotel to hotel or room to room. If you do have to do that, by the way, they'll move your baggages and everything for you. You just leave them in your room, your phone down, and they'll do that for you. So the vacation package is what I went for. A combination of vacation package and normal hotel rooms. This is what most UK tourists seem to have gone for, because you're going a long way. It's like a 13, 14 hour flight. It's a long flight to get you there. You're flying the other side of the world. You may never go back again. Which is, of course, what we say about going to Walt Disney World. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But watching people's vlogs, I watched Adam Hatton's, and then he went back a few months later with Gary. I've watched the Kershaw's adventures. A lot of people seem to book the vacation package. So that's what I went for. To get the vacation package, you need to stay in certain hotels. So you can stay in the brand new Toy Story Hotel, which is one of the moderate ones. And if you do want to visit that hotel, you have to stay in it because they won't let you in otherwise. Or you can stay at the Ambassador Hotel, the original beautiful Disneyland Hotel, which is right in the gates of the Disneyland. Or you can stay in the brand new Fantasy Springs or the MiraCosta. The Fantasy Springs and the MiraCosta, they're over at Disney Sea, and they actually do have an entry into the park, straight into the Disney Sea park. The other hotels are on a monorail loop. The monorail loop, you have to pay for the monorail, by the way. It's only got 4 stops. It's quite easy to get around. It's a couple of quid for a day's pass to get around that. So Mira Costa is where I stayed for the entire trip. Yes, it was a little bit pricey, but we pushed the boat out because this really was going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And if I do go back to Tokyo and to Disneyland, would I stay at the Mira Costa again? Probably not, because of the price. And I think I might get my head around how to do it differently. But obviously, now I've been and I've done it quite an intense way. If I go back again and I don't manage to do anything, I don't feel like I'm missing out. But for this opportunity, I really want to make sure that I was getting everything done. I was getting in the parks. I was seeing the attractions. I was seeing the shows. I was seeing the parades. I was eating what I wanted to eat. So to really get everything done in the few days that I was going to be there, that's why I opted for the vacation package at Mira Costa. Now, staying at these parks gets you into the park, wait for it, 15 minutes early. Yes. And you thought only half an hour at the Walt Disney World hotels was a bit tight. Well, Tokyo, you are getting into the parks 15 minutes early before regular park guests if you're staying at a hotel. However, in that 15 minutes, there is a lot to do. You are not just rope dropping so you can run to your favourite attraction, the most popular attraction, be it the Beauty and the Beast attraction in Disneyland or the Fantasy Springs attractions over at Tokyo Disney Sea. Not only are you getting in, yes, you do have to make your way to one of those attractions as you beat the rest of the queue, but getting in early means you can do other things. So if you want to book fast passes or you want to make sure you've got a dining reservation or you want to see a show or anything like that, you can only do it once you are in the park. These things that you want to do on your Disney day, you can only do once you've scanned your ticket. So that 15 minutes is really valuable. And if you've seen the pictures or videos, people who aren't in the hotels really do take getting into that park early seriously. Some people are out there too, if not 3 hours before the park opens, forming an orderly queue, sitting on the floor on a little map. And let me just tell you that those queues in that 15 minutes, everybody who is queuing from a hotel will get through into the park before regular guests. That queue moves really fast. But 8:45 was the time that I had every day for my early morning entry. And let me tell you, 8:45 to the second is when they started letting people into the parks. Before they open the gates, by the way, the characters come out, which is really cute. If you're in the front of the queue, Mickey and Minnie and Chip and Dale, they came out to wave us in and they were kind of like hanging around, I think probably to break the queues up as people got in the parks, because suddenly you're distracted going, oh, actually, I'm not going to run to this attraction. I'm going to have my picture with Mickey instead. But that 15 minutes really does get you in to beat the queues in more ways than one. So you make your way to the busy attractions, but once you've scanned into the park, you can purchase your first individual Fastpass. Yes, you still have to pay for Fastpasses for some of the big attractions. Now, you can only book one, and then a couple of hours later, you can pay for your next one. So find out which of the attractions that are going to sell out fast, because they do. Like the first hour or so, some of those attractions, the Fastpasses will be sold out, and the queues, they can get to like 3 or 4 hours. So the first thing you're probably going to do is pay for your first Fastpass. However, the second thing you're going to be doing in this 15 minutes, as well as still walking to the attraction, you're going to be trying to get a free Fastpass, because something that they introduced 2 years ago for the 40th anniversary was free Fastpasses to certain attractions. There's about 6 or 7 attractions in each of the parks. So you can get your first Fastpass, you can get into that for free. And once you've done that, you can get your next one. Yeah, I know. Free fast passes in a Disney park. So you've got your free fast pass, you've got your paid for fast pass. The next thing to do is you want to get into one of the shows. The shows in the parks, which I will go into more details later, are incredible. But if you want to see them, you can't just rock up and stand in a standby line. No, 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 no. You have to get into a lottery. So there's about 6 or 7 performances of each show every day. To get into the lottery, once again, you go into the app, you find the show you want to see, you select a time, and you enter the lottery. Now, you've only got one shot at doing this. If you're not successful, you can't pick another time. You need to decide which time you want to go. Bear in mind, you've got parades and other shows and fast passes and restaurant reservations all lined up, so you've really got to think about this. You enter the lottery, it will tell you straight away whether you're in or not. If you're in, great. You've got a guaranteed seat for the show. If you weren't lucky, don't worry, because you can still buy your way in. Of course you can. This is still Disney. So, we've got our Fast Pass. We've got our free Fast Pass. We've got our show ticket. The next thing we want to do, maybe, is get something to eat. Because, yes, they have mobile order. But again, that will sell out. And some restaurants will only accept mobile order. If you want a rice bowl that looks like Duffy the Disney Bear, then you better get that virtual Fast Pass queue to get you into your mobile order. So all these are the things we've got to do within the first 15 minutes of getting into the park. Now, on my first day at Disneyland, actually my second day at Disneyland, because my first day, by the time we landed at like 7:30, we were at the hotel at 10 a.m. We're like, now what we're going to do? So we just bought a day's ticket for Disneyland, which was about 40 quid, by the way. The day tickets are so much cheaper than any of the other parks. But my first actual day of experiencing the 15 minutes early, I managed to do all this as we were walking to our first attraction, the brand new Beauty and the Beast attraction at Disneyland, only to get there to find that the Beauty and the Beast attraction was down. At this point, we were about 12 minutes into our 15 minutes. What do you do? What do you do? Where do you go next? I hadn't really thought about this. This was my plan, was to go to Beauty and the Beast, but it was down. So the next best thing was go back to the front of the castle and get your castle picks, because everybody else is going to be rushing to an attraction. By the time we got to the front of the castle, the rest of the park was open to regular day guests. Let me tell you about the attractions, because in Disneyland, let me just talk about Disneyland for the minute. Disneyland, a lot of the attractions are the same. Pirates of the Caribbean, it's great. It's the same. It's similar to, well, it's similar to Paris. It's similar to Florida. It's nothing like the Shanghai Pirates. That's completely different. But yeah, Pirates, it's pretty much the same. They still have Splash Mountain, the old Splash Mountain with Bear Rabbit. He's still there. Country Bear Jamboree is kind of still the old one, but they have various Country Bear Jamborees. It changes theme throughout the year, so that when I went, they were on vacation. I didn't really understand a lot of what they were saying. I was trying to use my Google Translate as the Country Bears were chatting. There was a joke in there about getting lost in Shinjuku Station in Tokyo, which everybody else seemed to find hilarious. Some of the songs, by the way, were in English. They sang Achy Breaky Heart. They did a Beach Boys song. But I do love Country Bears. And just waiting to go in, because all in the queue rides, all the pitches for Country Bear Jamboree were all in English, so that bit you can still get, you can really understand that. Big Thunder is there as well. I managed to catch that before it went down for a little bit of a renovation. Philharmagic is there, which has got a beautiful queue, by the way, in the lobby for the Philharmagic Theatre. It's stunning. The show itself, exactly the same, just in Japanese. They got Pinocchio, they got Snow White is on there. Dumbo they've got, which strangely is in Fantasyland, but so is Haunted Mansion. Dumbo is in the front of Haunted Mansion in Fantasyland. Odd. Haunted Mansion, just the same. They've got the teacups. Oh my word, they've got Small World. Now, Small World at the moment in Tokyo Disneyland has been taken over by Groot. Yes, Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy is in It's a Small World. He is not just in it. He's in pretty much every country's scene. And they've not just like hidden him. Like, I think if you've been to California in the Small World over there, they've got Disney characters in It's a Small World. Well, they've still got that as well. But they've got Groot in only for a short amount of time. Not just Groot. They've got other characters as well from Marvel. So there's a massive Hulk in there. He's massive, but he looks like he fits in to the It's a Small World attraction. Captain America, Black Panther, Ant-Man, they're all in there with Groot. Groot, who is disguised. So, for example, in the United Kingdom part, Groot's like one of the soldiers there with the bearskin hat on. In the India scene, he's dancing, he's belly dancing in front of the Taj Mahal. I'll put some of these clips on there on my socials, by the way, because it's such an incredible attraction. I thought, oh, they just put a couple of Groots in there and I don't understand why they've done this. But they really have gone for it, which does go for a lot of things at Tokyo Disneyland. Tokyo Disneyland is not run by Disney, as will be the new Abu Dhabi Disney attraction, the Disney park that's going to open there in like 5 or 6 years' time. It's designed and imagineered by Disney, but it's run by a completely different company. 100% in Tokyo is the Oriental Land Company, who run both Disneyland and Tokyo DisneySea. And for me, it feels like a lot of what they do is all for the customer. It's not a case of, okay, this is a great attraction, now how can we build it cheaper? It's, this is a great attraction, how can we make it even better? Something you will notice from all the details, even from the queue. The queues are just different. They have taken plussing attractions to the next level. They've taken immersion to the next level. I'll talk about Fantasy Springs later on, which is the newest part, but it's incredible. It's beautiful. The Anna and Elsa attraction over there, every part of that queue ride in the castle, you are in the castle. You look up, even the roof, even the ceiling, even the gardens that they put through a window, they've actually built, they built the window, they built a garden beyond that. They didn't have to do that. They've really gone next level. It feels like they're not cutting costs anywhere. No cost is too small. Imagineers are just let run wild, which is what they've obviously done, and it's a small. They've gone, right, we'll put Groot in there. Go for it. Go for it. Go over the top. Do it. So It's a Small World at the minute is Groot. They've also got a Monsters, Inc. attraction where it's kind of a little bit like Buzz Lightyear. They do have Buzz Lightyear as well, by the way, but that was down. Space Mountain was also, well, Space Mountain wasn't closed. Space Mountain was demolished. They're building a brand new Space Mountain. But yes, they do have a Monsters, Inc. attraction. It's a bit like Buzz Lightyear, but rather than shooting, you're given a torch and you have to find the little monsters as you go through the attraction. It's a dark ride. It's really good. Also, they still have the Tom Sawyer Island. I know that's going at Walt Disney World. It's not been filled in yet over at Tokyo. So you can get the boat and you can go over there. You can even do the rowboats, which I think they have in California. They definitely have them in China as well. Something that I've never done. I don't want to go to a Disney park and go on an attraction and row it myself. Why would I want to do that? So there's some of the bigger attractions at Tokyo Disneyland. However, the big three attractions, these are my favourite three attractions. This is just in the Disneyland park I'm talking about in a minute. Firstly, you've got Pooh's Honey Hunt. Now, this is not like the other Winnie the Pooh attractions in the other parks. It's similar. It's a similar story. However, this is a trackless ride. I think this is one of the first trackless. They actually built this at the same time as Tokyo DisneySea opened, because they opened this new park. They didn't want people, just everybody, just to go to this new park. So they wanted an attraction at Disneyland, which would still keep people coming in there as well, which is why they built Pooh's Honey Hunt. And incredible. So you get into the little honey pot, and when you're in the scene with Tigger and he's bouncing, you're bouncing, like, the car is properly bouncing. You've got the screens there in front of you. Pooh is flying over the top of your head. Winnie the Pooh, I'm still talking about here. You go into the other attraction. You know the little room where it goes a little bit trippy? The Oozles and Woozles room. You're flying in that. And I did this attraction, like, two or three times. And when you were in that room, it was different every time, because there were different parts of this room where different cars go. And you're kind of, like, whipping round. Pooh's Honey Hunt, a totally different experience of doing that Winnie the Pooh ride. Just incredible. The other, and this is the newest attraction they got at Disneyland, which is the new Beauty and the Beast ride. Now, you might have seen this a couple of years ago when it first opened. The animatronics are just stunning. In fact, before you go into the attraction, the queue, I hadn't seen the pre-show for this, and it blew me away. So I was there, I'm standing at the bottom of the staircase, just waiting for something to happen, and you're watching the story being told in Japanese, but because I know the story, I'm seeing the images, so I know what's going on. And then, either side of this staircase, you can hear footsteps, and Belle appears with this light, and then the Beast appears from the other side. The most incredibly detailed animatronics just in the queue. Just in the queue. And then you're walking back through the castle and you're seeing Mrs. Potts talking to Chip. Then you're seeing these shadows being cast on another wall. And you're seeing details as you're walking down through the Beast Castle. The immersion, again, just in the queue. They didn't have to do that, but they did. The ride itself. Okay, I'll be honest. The first time I went on the Beauty and the Beast ride in Tokyo, I thought it was okay. Maybe I didn't quite connect. Maybe I didn't get it first time around. In fact, I thought it was a little bit boring. Because there are only, I'd say, 3.5 scenes. So you get into the teacup. So there's about 10 people in this huge teacup. And the first room your teacup goes into is the Be Our Guest scene. So you're dancing around the table. So you go in the room and Belle's sat there. Spoiler alert's coming up, by the way. I should have said that at the beginning. Belle is sat there at the table and there's nothing on the table. And then suddenly you're... teacup turns round to Be Our Guest, and then suddenly the table is fully decorated, and then your teacups dance around the table. Really cute. I love it. Really fabulous. And then you go into the next scene, which was a little bit boring. It was just Belle and a horse. Animatronics were great, and she's singing and the Beast is over there and he's on his balcony and he's singing, and you're just kind of like, you're just whipping around in these teacups. And then you go through another scene, which is the transformation scene, which was incredible. I think this was old school Disney technology that they've used for the transformation scene with mirrors. They're never going to change that because it works. So why not? And then you go into the final scene when you're in the ballroom and the characters have changed back into the cells and you're dancing round to Taylor's Oldest Time, Beauty and the Beast. And it's beautiful. And I came off the attraction and I thought, that was great. Because the middle scene was a little bit boring, I was maybe slightly disappointed. The second time I went on the attraction, I loved it just a little bit more. The third and final time I went on it, I really loved it. So here's the thing. You go in the teacups and you're dancing around in the teacups. The actual teacup attraction I'm talking about now, the old school teacup attraction. You don't think, well, that was boring. I was just sitting in a teacup spinning around. Well, in essence, that is what you are doing in the Beauty and the Beast attraction. However, it's beautifully choreographed. These teacups are dancing in time. It does feel like you're waltzing with the characters, but you're sat in this teacup going through the Beast's castle. So I must forgive the fact that I came out of that attraction first time around. I thought, this is a bit boring, because actually it's not. The detail and the choreography, it's just... you're beautifully dancing around the Beast Castle in a massive teacup. What's not to love about that? The other of my big attractions at Disneyland, and I was so worried that I wasn't going to see this because it was down for maintenance until my last day. So I did, finally, on my last day, get to see the Baymax attraction. You might have seen videos of this. So the Baymax ride, Baymax's Happy Ride, basically... it's the same ride as the alien swirling saucers that we get at Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World. However, it's Baymax themed. But it's more than just that. This attraction is more than just a ride. This attraction sums up the whole of the park. This attraction sums up Japan. It sums up Tokyo. It sums up the Japanese people. And it sums up the Japanese cast members who are the most incredibly, brilliantly, friendly, happy cast members you will ever meet. Disney cast members are great. They go above and beyond. In Tokyo, they take that even further. You never see a cast member without a smile on their face. You never see a cast member who is not waving. When they're not doing something, they're waving. And when I say they're waving, I mean the whole time. I think they're trained. I think they are programmed to just continually wave. And you just find yourself waving back. People say, oh, were there any language barriers or any problems? No, because a smile and a wave can say so much between you and the cast members. And the cast members are incredible. If this is the happiest place on the earth, then I actually think it must be even happier. What is happier than being happy? That is Tokyo Disneyland and the cast members. And on the Baymax attraction, they take this to the next level. So the Baymax, I say it's like the alien swirling saucers, and there are 6 different songs that are on the attraction. However, there's not just 6 songs, because every song has got its own little dance routine that the cast members on the attraction will not just do, they will go beyond. They will be bouncing around in their little podium. So they'll make sure you're in the attraction. They'll make sure you've got your seatbelt on. They'll go back to start the ride. And when that ride goes, their arms are waving. They're jumping up and down. They know every move to all six of the songs, and they really go for it. But it's not just the cast members. There's a lot of regular visitors who also know these routines. Some people will just go to the attraction, not to go on it, just to be in the queue to do the dance moves, or stood around the side. And I think, actually, this is my favourite attraction at Tokyo Disneyland. Not because of the attraction, but because of the people who go on it, and particularly the cast members, who give this attraction such a vibe, such a party. And I think, I don't know how many hours these people are working on this attraction, doing song after song after song, and it is like they're first at the party for the first time. But it's not, because they've been doing this for hours, days, weeks, months, maybe even years. I will share this on my socials. I'll share one of the videos. I tried to film it without filming people's faces, because I know Japanese people have particularly a lot of privacy. So I've tried to film it where people are either not facing the camera or they've got a face mask on. So yeah, I will share that with you, because the Baymax Happy Ride is the happiest ride in the happiest place on earth. But again, it's the cast members who completely make it. So they're the attractions. We have shows. I mentioned before, if you want to get a ticket to a show, you've got to enter a lottery or you've got to pay for it. If you win that lottery, you don't just get into the show and find a seat. You're actually given a seat. This goes for the parade as well. You will be given a seat number. You will be given row 19 seats A and B or something like that, and they will be your seats. And these theatres are full. And these theatres for the shows, these are actual theatres. You're not sitting on a cold steel bench watching something. All right, maybe one of them you are. But for some of the shows, they've actually built full-on Broadway West End theatres. You walk in, you've got the lobby, you've got the foyer, you've got the stalls, and you've got the gallery, and you've got a full-on stage that goes deep back. Mickey and the Magical Musical World is the show that they've got in Disneyland. The show itself is incredible. I couldn't film any of that, and I didn't want to be honest with you. But you've got Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Goofy going in to various shows, and there's a ship that comes on the stage, and princesses who walk through mirrors, and there's a huge piano that they go into. The staging is incredible. It's better than anything I've ever seen in a Disney cruise line, and those shows are great. So imagine those shows and that theatre in a theme park, but it's more like an actual theatre. So Mickey and the Magical Musical World is the big show. They've also got Club Mouse Beat, which is kind of like an outside theatre where you've got Mickey Mouse and various dancers and Donald going for it. I think there's a story there. I don't know what it was. That was a great show. That was a big party show. In terms of parades, oh my word, there are so many parades. So we have the actual normal parade in the afternoon, Harmony and Colour, which has got just the most incredible piece of music that goes with it. It sounds very Jonas Brothers. I need to find out who wrote and recorded that, because it sounds like the Jonas Brothers. It's a good parade. Over at Tokyo Disney, they will do a parade for a few years and then they'll change it for a new one, because, you know, we get bored. I'm thinking they obviously get a lot of repeat visitors, which is why they do this. But I'm talking to you, Walt Disney World. I know we're getting a new nighttime parade, but what about the afternoon parade? Yes, I love the afternoon parade at Walt Disney World at Magic Kingdom, but I've seen it now. I saw it years ago. It's time for a new afternoon one. Do what they do at Tokyo. And also what they do in Tokyo as well. If it's raining, there's no rainy day parade. Oh no, the characters whack on a poncho and they get out there and they do the parade anyway. In fact, if you get to go to Tokyo, you should hope for one, maybe half rainy day, because also the characters come out. They've got particular costumes they only wear when it's raining. So I met Minnie Mouse on the day it was raining. It was tipping it down. And she had like this fabulous raincoat on and a rain hat. Great. And they only wear those on days when it's raining. So yes, we've got the afternoon parade. We've also got a nighttime parade, which is the electrical parade, the Main Street electrical parade they have in there, which again is just incredible. Yes. Two parades? No. There's more than that. Because when I was there, there were two Donald Duck parades. One of them I didn't see. Coincided with Donald Duck's birthday, so there's a bit of a Donald parade in the morning, which I think was quite small. However, there was also another Donald Duck parade. The whole of Disneyland Tokyo was taken over by Donald Duck. It was Donald's Quack Quack Duck City. Now, every few months, a different character is celebrated. They get their own parade. And the hub, the entrance and down to the front of the castle, is completely rethemed. Oh, the Main Street, by the way. The Main Street in Disneyland is undercover. It is still Main Street, but not like Paris, where it's kind of undercover at the side. The whole thing has got a massive canopy over the top. So parades will only go round. They go from like round Frontierland through to Toontown, because they've got a Toontown there as well with Mickey and Minnie's house. But they only go round the front of the episode. They won't actually go up Main Street because that's kind of like closed off. It's all pedestrianised, if you like, and undercover. But yes, Donald Duck had his own parade. But you go in and the bins are themed to Donald Duck. The manhole covers are themed to Donald Duck, the Donald Duck toperies. The big entrance where you usually have the big Mickey made out of flowers, that was Donald Duck. In fact, I haven't seen Mickey in flowers in any of the Eastern parks, because Shanghai was Minnie Mouse and Hong Kong was Duffy the Bear. Over at Tokyo, because it was the celebration of Donald Duck, he'd taken over the front of that. But there was Donald everywhere. But when he gets his own parade, Donald's Quack Quack Duck City We Love Donald Parade, it's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. People were queuing for this. People were sitting on the floor, like, hours before. And they do this in Tokyo, even for the main parade as well. People will sit on the floor and wait. Now, I'd seen this before. And again, you can buy your way in to get a reserved spot for the parades where you will have to sit on the floor. I didn't want to sit on the floor. It's very much a Japanese thing. They'll bring their own little mats that they'll sit on. They'll queue outside to get in, and then they'll come in and they'll sit on the floor. Not for me. I'd never get up again. But you can stand. And in fact, if you're going to go and see the parade, just get there about 10, 15 minutes before the parade, and you are allowed to stand behind the people sitting down. It's totally fine if you want to do that. That's totally fine. And to be honest, you get a better view because you just stood above loads of people who are sitting down. They don't sit down, and when the parade starts, stand up. They will stay seated throughout the parade, which they did for Donald Parade. All the characters were in this Donald Duck Parade. They were all dressed as Donald. There was songs. You could buy a little duck on a stick that made a quacky noise that people were shaking at Donald. So we had a birthday parade, we had a Donald Parade, we had an afternoon parade, and then we had the electrical parade at night. However, this is now where Tokyo Disneyland lets me down a little bit, because the nighttime spectaculars weren't really that spectacular. I waited for the fireworks. Now, there were two nighttime spectaculars. The first one was just the fireworks, which was called The Sky Full of Colours. So they used the same song, the same brilliant song that they had in the parade, and they have fireworks, but it's shared between the two parks. So the fireworks go off in between the two parks. They're not behind the castle. So really, when it started like 8:30, wherever you were in the park, you could just stop and look, because there's no projections on the castle or anything like that. It's kind of like the 5th of November at your local council display. That's probably the best way to describe those fireworks. And they were fine. They were like 4 or 5 minutes long. They were quite nice. The fact you don't have to stand for an hour before and then there's going to be somebody with a kid on their shoulders. That doesn't happen, by the way. Kids on shoulders doesn't happen over in Tokyo. And then we stayed on the first night for A Sky Full of Colour, which was, it was pyrotechnics and it was images projected onto the castle. It was 25 minutes long. And, well, I'll put it this way. We saw it on the first night. We didn't bother going back to watch it on the other two nights at the Disneyland park because it wasn't very good. It really, out of all the six parks, nighttime spectaculars, Tokyo's was the worst. Yes, watch it once if you go in, but don't worry if you don't see it again. Use that time to get back in line for Beauty and the Beast, because like every park, the queues go down towards the end of the night because people are waiting for that. Let's talk about food before I go. And I think, by the way, the next podcast I'll talk about Tokyo Disney Sea, because I realise I've waffled on so long just about Disneyland. I'm going to make this a two-parter. So in 2 weeks, I'll talk about Tokyo Disney Sea. But let me tell you about the food, first of all, in Disneyland. There's a lot of cute things that you can get for Instagram. You might have seen the little alien mochi balls. So you get three in a pot. So they're like chewy consistency on the outside. And there's like a cream filling on the inside. One is strawberry, one is custard, and one is chocolate. They're only about £2. Pretty much like everything at Tokyo Disneyland, the food wasn't that expensive. You want to buy a bottle of water? It was like £1 or something from the vending machine. Oh, yes. They have vending machines, by the way. Like in Japan, they love a vending machine in Japan, and that goes for the parks. But the vending machines are themed to the area. Again, I will share this on the socials. There's like an Alice in Wonderland vending machine that looks like a teapot. The ones in Frontierland, they've got wood on them, so they fit into the, everything is themed, even the vending machines, the bins, the vending machines. Everything is themed. The alien mochi balls. So yeah, they were £2. I also went for the Baymax curry that you might have seen. I struggled to find where this was on sale because I went in Tomorrowland where the Baymax attraction is, but it wasn't there. It was a coffee shop on Main Street that sells the Baymax curry. So popular that is that you've got to get in early to reserve your spot. You've got to get a dining reservation for that, which you can book before you go, by the way. You need to set your alarm for 1 o'clock in the morning, like 30 days before or something. I didn't do that, but thankfully I just kept checking the app. Like you do, we've learned this at Disney World. Just keep checking. There's going to be a cancellation. So we managed to get into the coffee shop to get the Baymax curry. I also had a couple of little buns that looked like Chippendale's bum. One of them was sweet potato. The other one was tomato and chicken. So like a sweet and a savory one in there. They love popcorn. Oh, my word. The popcorn at Disneyland in Tokyo is next level. You might have heard about this. My favourite wasn't any of the sweet ones. So there's the normal caramel one. There's a normal, there's the sweet and the salty. There was a honey one in front of Winnie the Pooh, which was all right. My favourite popcorn that they had was the curry popcorn. And I only had it because I thought, well, I'm here. I'm never going to get this anywhere else. I've got to try it. I had it about two or three times. It's so Moorish. Think of Snacker Jacks. You know when you get a Snacker Jack, a savoury Snacker Jack? It's like that. But curry flake, it really does work. And with the vacation package, I got to choose a popcorn bucket, which, by the way, they'd only recently changed. I'd seen this on vlogs. You get the vacation package, they give you the popcorn bucket, and it's just a standard one. But recently they changed it, so you can have any popcorn bucket. They have some incredible popcorn buckets over there. In fact, popcorn is so big that in Disneyland Park, there is a shop that just sells all the different popcorns and all the different popcorn buckets. So if you don't want to find the individual popcorn stall, just go into this shop. Take your pick. Popcorn is very big over there. In terms of drinks, yes, you can buy alcohol in the parks and beer and wine. Wasn't that expensive? Just a few quid to get it. But the drink that I loved most, and on one of the days with the vacation package, we were given a little ticket to have as much drinks as we like. Not alcoholic, but any of the other drinks, even the specialty drinks you can have. So we got our money's worth on that. But kept drinking apple tea soda. Now, I don't know whether you've ever heard of TDR Explorer. As a guy called Chris, I think he's Canadian, but lives over in Japan. He does some incredible vlogs and guides to the Tokyo park. So do give him a follow if you want somebody to follow, if you're thinking of going over to Japan. And please do go to Japan. If you've been to Walt Disney World a few times, you want to do something different. And I've mentioned this before. How often do you get the opportunity to walk down Main Street for the first time? More than once. Take that in. But yeah, if you want to know more about the parks, well, you can check out the stuff that I'm going to put on socials over the next couple of weeks, or Chris, TDR Explorer. He's a really good one to follow. But as I mentioned, there are two parks in the Tokyo Disney Resort. I've just been telling you all about Tokyo Disneyland that's been open now for 42 years. Let me tell you about Tokyo DisneySea. The park next door, the newest of the two parks. Is it the most incredible theme park in the world? That's what people call it. I'll tell you more about that on the next podcast. And if you would like a little piece of Tokyo Disneyland for yourself, then I've got a little bit of a competition on the go. I managed to bring back some swag from my stay at Tokyo Disney. And if you'd like to get your hands on it, there's two chances to win. One right now on Instagram and over on TikTok. So follow us at Pod Magical, Instagram and TikTok, the most magical podcast on earth. All the details are on there. The competition will run right across the weekend into early next week. And then on our next podcast, which will be the bonus one, which will be this time next week, I will announce the winner. So have a look, give us a like, give us a follow at Pod Magical, Instagram and TikTok. You can enter both, two chances to win All the details are on there, and maybe you could win some swag that's come all the way from Tokyo in my suitcase. If you're going to Walt Disney World over the next few weeks, maybe you're getting ready now because it's the kids' summer holidays. It's cool kids' summer right now at Walt Disney World with lots of events going on. The new Little Mermaid show is now open, as is the new Villain show at Hollywood Studios. Epic Universe is already open. Looks like they're getting ready to expand already. Some dates for your diary, things that are going to be happening soon. Some announcements from Walt Disney World, some news over the last few weeks. We know the date of the first for the new nighttime parade. Yes, I know, we're getting a new parade, a new nighttime parade at last. July the 20th at Magic Kingdom will be the first night for the brand new nighttime parade. Never been seen before. It's not the Main Street Electrical Parade. It's a brand new Dreamlights Parade, 20th of July. But then, of course, when we get into August, we're going to be having Halloween parties. So then it's going to be on every other night. But 20th of July, if you're going to be there for that, you can catch that. And then a couple of days later, Test Track reopens July the 22nd. There's new music, new scenes, new tech. You'll be able to see what cars see. This looked like it's been a bit of a big money upgrade. Of course, Test Track over at Epcot has got a sponsor, so they can kind of push the boat out a little bit, or the car. General Motors sponsors that. But yet, the 22nd of July, Test Track will reopen. Things that have already closed, Muppet 3D, that's now gone. We'll have to wait until next year until Muppets take over Rock and Roller Coaster from Aerosmith at Hollywood Studios. Of course, that land where Muppets was and Rizzo. That's going to be Monsters, Inc. land over the next few years. We'll see the building work starting pretty much very soon. More building work over at Magic Kingdom to make way for, well, for Villains Land and the Cars attraction. Tom Sawyer Island and the Liberty Square Riverboat, they will close on July the 7th. Your last chance to visit Tom Sawyer Island. Maybe you've never been. Or you can go to the one in Tokyo. And the riverboat will stop from July the 7th. We know more about Piston Peak, which is going to be taking that bit of land over there. Inspired by the Rocky Mountains, this is going to be like the Cars attraction. Imagine awe-inspiring wilderness filled with towering trees, snow-capped mountains, breathtaking waterfalls, roaring rivers, and an impressive geyser. So that they're keeping a lot of water there by the looks of where this Cars attraction is going to be. And I think it is going to be blending in with Big Thunder that reopens next year, and with Tiana's and the American Frontier down there. And I think, because I was worried about, well, are you going to get cars just roaring past the Haunted Mansion? I think that's going to be kind of like disguised. They seem to be keeping a lot of water there as well. So from the images they've given us, it looks pretty impressive, Piston Peak. So as I say, yeah, Big Thunder will reopen next year. The railway is going to be kind of revised while they do all the building work behind there. So it's not going to be a full loop, but you still can get on the steam train that goes around Walt Disney World. It's just not going to go all the way around Magic Kingdom. And then Animal Kingdom, building work going on there as well. So the Boneyard, which is the kids' play area, that is going to close forever on September the 1st. Of course, that part of Animal Kingdom will make way for Tropical Americas. So all of Dinoland USA will be eventually replaced. I think the dinosaur attraction is still going to be open for a little bit longer. So if you're going to Walt Disney World over summer, some things you can do for the first time and also the last time. And here's a tip for you. Mission Space. Yes, Mission Space. Did you know it's got an indoor play area? So particularly good if you are going to be going over summer. July, August, September, it's really hot. So if you've got little kids who want to burn some energy and you could do with a little bit of air conditioning, have a look at the Mission Space indoor play area. You don't have to do the attraction to go in there. So if you go kind of where the exit is, you always exit through a shop. So if you go in through the shop, you don't have to go on the ride, but the Mission Space indoor play area is there. Maybe just want to have a look. A little bit of air conditioning. If you are going to be going over to Walt Disney World, obviously, school holidays for America right now and UK pretty soon. Temperatures are incredibly hot. I mean, there's some days that begin up to the high 90s. So busy. It's going to be hot. Pound to dollar is pretty good, though. We're looking at like a three-year high. 1.36. It's hovering around at the minute. So, yeah, not looking too bad. If you're going to be going, tag us in your pictures. And then maybe we'll get you one when you get back. Yeah. Make sure you like us on the socials at PodMagical. That's where you can enter that competition on Instagram and TikTok for the goodies from Tokyo. There will be another bonus episode, part two of my Tokyo trip, more about Tokyo DisneySea in a bonus episode, which will be in around a week's time. And then 2 weeks today, back to our normal podcasts. Okay, so if you want more from Tokyo, then next week, just make sure you subscribe. Everything will be there if you subscribe. And until then, please stand clear of the doors.